Well, if you have a Bible, you'll want to turn to John chapter 1. Make sure my microphone's loud enough. So let me begin by saying that I am aware that my title is a bit misleading. It says, a God to dwell among us, when in fact there is no other God but the God who dwells among us. There is no other. It's not as if there is another kind of God out there who does not dwell among us. There is no other God. There is but one. Isaiah 45, verse 5 says this, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. So there are no Hindu gods. There is no Shiva. There's no Vishnu. The idols of Buddhism are not real. There are no bodhisattvas. There's no Yama, the king of hell. Statues and idols are fake. They have no power. They're just made out of metal and wood. They cannot speak. They cannot move. So-called gods in the temples around Hong Kong, they don't respond to the incense sticks. The offerings to them are a waste of time and a waste of energy. And the God of the Quran is not the God of the Bible, because God is known through His scriptures, the Bible. But there is a God that we can know, and He is the only God, and He is a God who has revealed Himself as a God who dwells in the midst of His creation. The only God, the creator and sustainer of everyone and everything, is not distant, but He is a God who is near. So we see this from the very beginning of the Bible, and it's a thread that runs all throughout the Bible. We see that God, from the very beginning, desired to be near His creation for some reason. So I want us to ponder today the reality of God being a God who can be known and God being a God who is near to us. And I pray that it will lead us into adoration, that we will want to know Him more because of seeing Him today. Let's pray quickly. Almighty God, even if I thought that I had all the skills today and the great oratory skills to be able to sound impressive, it would still be Your Spirit who does the work. And in fact, I am a jar of clay, but You are a priceless treasure. So I pray that today the reality of Your beauty and greatness would be seen. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. So it's Christmas time, and this is our last message of Christmas. But we need to think deeply, because Christmas is something we celebrate every year. So it's very easy for us to just talk about these things. Oh yeah, God became flesh and dwelt among us. But we really need to think, what? The only God of the universe became flesh and dwelt among us? That should amaze us. It shouldn't be something that we become so comfortable with. So we need to think deeply. We need, in our hearts and in our minds, we really need to try to grasp this morning the reality of the incarnation. And the reality of the incarnation should stir in us some affection for God. Meaning we should feel something. We should feel some love for God when we think about the incarnation. because he did become flesh and dwell among us. In the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, we see God speaking things into existence. All things are created by him and for him. And you know the story. In the Garden of Eden, there was God dwelling amongst Adam and Eve and the creation, his creatures. They're living in harmony. Everything is as it is supposed to be until the man and the woman rebelled and sinned. And so you remember what happened after they sinned. They were not allowed to live in the garden anymore. So from the very beginning, they were dwelling with God, but there's this separation that is created because of their sin. They're now alienated from God, being able to live with Him permanently and continually. We see that from the very beginning, from the fall. And from here on, things become very different. Even though God is speaking to His humanity and God is making things right, but the relationship between man and God is not right. All throughout the Bible, we see that. But yet God is still gracious, and God is still doing His work to make things right. And we see in the end, in the book of Revelation, that God is dealing with man face to face again. So what was true in Eden is true in Revelation, and here we live in between. But God still gives the promise of His presence in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 7 and 8, you know the story of Noah. He meets Noah. He puts Noah in the ark. He blesses him, makes a covenant with him, and protects him. Genesis chapter 12, God makes a covenant with Abraham and blesses him and says, you know, your descendants I will make into a great nation. And throughout Genesis, God is with Isaac. God is with Jacob. God is with Joseph down in Egypt and all of his brothers. And even the Hebrew midwives, when Pharaoh says, let's kill all the babies, the Hebrew midwives don't obey, and God is with them. And God is with one of those babies especially in Exodus chapter 3. We know Moses. God comes to Moses and he says to him, I will be with you. Exodus 25, God gives directions for a tent or a tabernacle to be placed in the middle of the Israelite camp. Don't miss the fact that it was in the middle of the camp, so that God was dwelling there in the center and near every single tribe. God gives directions for that to happen because God's desire was to dwell in their midst. In the book of Numbers, you remember the book of Numbers is really the book of wanderings. That's what it means. They're wandering around the wilderness. And how did God lead them? He led them by a pillar of fire, and He led them by a pillar of cloud, and He was with them the whole time. Deuteronomy 31, Moses gives a farewell address as he is getting ready to die. What are his words? He says, be strong and courageous, do not fear, for the Lord your God goes with you, and He will not leave you or forsake you. In the book of Joshua, I'm not going to go through every book. In the book of Joshua, he affirms again to Joshua what he affirmed to Moses. And he says, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. So all throughout the Bible, God's desire from the very beginning was that He would be a God who would dwell amongst His people. But His people rebelled. So there were barriers. Judges chapter 6, a man named Gideon. You remember Gideon? God comes to him, and what does God say to Gideon? Don't worry, I will be with you. 1 Samuel chapter 12, in Samuel's farewell address to the people, he says, don't worry, the Lord will not forsake His people. Psalm 23, King David writes a psalm. What's he say in Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. He's right here with me, and I don't have any needs because He's taking care of me. Psalm 139. David in Psalm 139 is contemplating the depths of the nearness of God. the depths of the omnipresence of God. And what does he say? He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. We just finished the Minor Prophets, and we saw in the Minor Prophets, in the very last book, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, God makes a promise and says he's going to be near his people in a different way again. He says, the Lord whom you seek, in Malachi 3, 1, the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Eden was a temple in which God dwelt with his creation and with mankind, but mankind sinned. There was a barrier. God was not dwelling with his people in the same way again. But he says, the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And we come to the New Testament. And what do we have? We see God show up in person. It seemed that no one was expecting this, but God shows up in person. God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, does not come in a tent. He doesn't show up in a burning bush. He doesn't show up in a cloud. But he becomes incarnate in person. He takes on flesh. As someone has said, is God with skin on. John chapter 1. Ezekiel, John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Think of these verses. It's amazing. It's glorious. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. Just in case we didn't get it before, He says it again. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. Yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but were born of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You understand the audacity of that passage? What it says? It says Jesus Christ has always been. He's not God the Father. He is not God the Father, but He is God the Son. But He was with the Father from the beginning. And according to the Bible, He, Jesus, created all things. You understand that? That means when you're looking at Genesis, He was there. The world was made by Him. And yet, He became a baby. That's beyond my comprehension. I accept it by faith, but it's beyond my ability to understand the God of the universe, God the Son, becoming human flesh and walking around and people seeing Him and seeing His glory. But more amazing than the fact that He even came and took on human flesh is why He came. Is why He came. You remember I said God is dwelling with mankind in the Garden of Eden, but because of our sin, there's now a barrier to dwelling in the presence of God. Well, Jesus came to remove that barrier. Hebrews 9:26 says this, He has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. 1 Peter chapter 3, Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. God, I'll give you a little summary. God, not due to any deficiency in and of himself. And what I mean by that is God does not need to dwell among men. He's not lonely. God doesn't have needs where he has some kind of self-esteem need, so he has to dwell with mankind to have some companionship. No, he has companionship. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, totally satisfied. But God desires to dwell amongst his creation and his people, or a people who know him. He did this in Eden, but the fall into sin made it impossible for anyone. Sin is an impenetrable barrier to a relationship with God. And Jesus Christ took on flesh to remove that barrier by his sacrificial death on the cross for all who will believe in him. And for all who do not believe in Christ, the barrier still exists. So if you're not a Christian, if you don't believe in Jesus, you will never dwell with God in eternity. Unless you receive Christ, then you will. But Jesus rose from the dead, and he is alive today, seated at the right hand of God the Father until he comes again. And Jesus made a promise, though. He said that he would dwell in and with every believer through the Holy Spirit, who is deposited to us, proving that we will dwell with him face to face in the new Eden, the heavenly city. So you see, God the Son did not just become human flesh and dwell among us in the person of Jesus Christ. But as a believer, he continues to dwell among us. As a believer in Jesus, you have the assurance of the continual presence of God with you all the time. That is a truth that this week has been interesting for me to ponder. Because how easy is it for us to forget that God will never leave us or forsake us, or that he is always with us now as a Christian. As an unbeliever, you don't have that assurance that God is always with you. But as a believer, you have the assurance that there will never be a time in your life ever where you will ever be out of the presence of God. That's really comforting. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20 says this. Jesus said these words, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, you may say, yeah, I know that. But do we live like we really believe that? I'll be honest with you. Even yesterday, I was having a tough time. Not physically or anything, but I was having a tough time complaining about some things and thinking through some things in my mind. And I had a prayer time with the Lord. I said, "Lord, you know, I need the right perspective right now on ministry and on my life. I need you to speak to me. Help me." And the verse came to my mind immediately that I'd been studying for a while. "I'm with you always to the end of the age." You see, we struggle. We struggle even as believers to wonder whether God is really with us all the time. We get lonely. We get afraid. We experience difficulty. But listen, believer, He is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. I want to give you four ways this morning. If we really believe that He is with us always, if we really believe that Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us and He continues to dwell among us, how should this truth change us? Number one, it should give us comfort. Some of you this week have had a tough week. You probably need some comfort. You might have had a really tough life. You probably wonder when life is ever going to get any easier. Well, you can find comfort in the promises of God that He will never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you always. Feel alone? Feel anxious? Feel uncertain? You can take comfort and you can have assurance in knowing He is with you always. Isaiah 41:10. What's it say? Do not fear, I am with you. Nor be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You're not alone. Jesus is dwelling with you because you have the Holy Spirit. He's with you all the time. It should bring us comfort. It should also give us courage. It should also give us courage. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Think about that. Are you afraid of anything? Well, if you're a Christian, Jesus says, I'm with you always. And He actually said in two verses before that, He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Think about that. Frame your life within those two bookends. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus, and I am with you always. What do you have to be afraid of? Worst thing that could happen to you is that you would die, and then you'll be with Him always. Forever and ever. Acts 18 verse 9 says this, do not be afraid, but go on speaking. And do not be silent, for I am with you. Are you afraid to share your faith? Are you afraid to go to the mission field? Maybe God is calling you and you say, I'm afraid. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm uncertain about my future. Well, guess what? Jesus Christ said, I am with you always to the end of the age. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. 2 Chronicles 16. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose hearts are blameless toward Him. He will never leave you. So take courage. Take courage and be comforted. And also, we should have contentment. We should be content. If we have Jesus Christ, we have everything that we need. So we can be content in our circumstances. Do you rest peacefully in the arms of Jesus? Do you rest peacefully as a content person in the arms of Jesus, who said, I am with you always? You see, the secret to contentment in the Bible is the presence of God. The secret to contentment is the presence of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says this. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Why? What's the basis? What's the foundation of being able to be free from the love of money and be content with what you have? For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? You see, the secret to contentment is knowing that you have someone stronger than you to take care of you and to provide all of your needs, and you don't have to worry about anything. Contentment comes from knowing that the Lord is with us always. Always. Do you remember what Paul said the secret to contentment was for him? Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. He said, I have learned to be content in all circumstances. Do you remember what his answer was? How? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me and is with me always. Lastly, we should have courage, we should have comfort, we should be content with the presence of the Lord with us always. And lastly, we should be careful and we should exercise caution. You see, Jesus said, I will be with you always. That means that He is with us even when we don't want Him to be. You see, most sin is done in a way where we feel like no one's really seeing this. Most sin happens because we feel like God doesn't see or nobody really sees. Oh, He sees. So we don't ever do anything where no one sees. That should give us great caution in how we live our lives. Even as a non-believer, God sees everything. Nothing escapes Him. But as a believer, we should seriously think about what we do. It should lead us to a life, knowing that Jesus is with us all the time, should lead us to a life of holiness, walking worthy of the calling which we have received, and we should live cautiously. God the Son took on human flesh and dwelt among us to take away sin. To take away the sin barrier between our relationship with God, and He opened up a way for us to eternally dwell in the presence of God forever if we believe in Him. This is the greatest gift that we could ever receive. You see, the greatest gift of the gospel is not having our sins taken away. The greatest gift in the gospel is that we get God. We can know God. Having our sins removed is only one of the things that happen to us in salvation. But I hope when you received Christ, that you actually were coming because you wanted God and not just wanting your sins taken away. We get God. We can know the only God, creator, sustainer of the cosmos. We can know Him. That is the greatest gift we could ever receive. You may be a believer in here today and you may say, I need courage. I need comfort. I need some contentment in my life. And maybe you need to exercise more caution in how you live. Meditate on the promise that Jesus Christ is with you always. Brought me great comfort last night. Great comfort to my heart. Reminded. As if He said to me, remember the sermon you're preaching tomorrow and connect it to your own heart. You see, because we can do that. We can have a sermon prepared about how God is with us always and then actually live our lives as if that's not even true. If you don't know Jesus today, my plea to you would be, give your life to Jesus Christ. You can dwell with God forever. or reject Jesus Christ, and you will not dwell in the presence of God forever and ever. That's not a good thing. Give your life to Him. The good news that we saw in John 1:12 says this: to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God. What a blessing. What a blessing we have that we can be called the children of God. And it's all because Jesus Christ took on flesh and dwelt among us so that we could know God. That's the greatest gift we could have ever received. Let's pray together. God, thank You that we have the assurance through Christ that nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That no matter what might happen to us in our life, whether we get cancer, or whether we get thrown in prison, or whether we're tortured, no matter what may happen to us, we know we will be with You forever. God, I pray that You would comfort some people today with this truth who are struggling. God, I pray You'll give some people courage today who are afraid of the future, afraid of the unknown. Would You comfort and give them courage today, Lord, knowing that You said, I will never leave You or forsake You. I will be with You always. Lord, would You give contentment to us in our hearts? I know I need it. Contentment. Knowing that we have a Heavenly Father who provides our needs, every need we may have, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And God, would You give us a carefulness that we would live in this world in such a way that says that we are citizens of Your kingdom, knowing that You are with us and You see everything that we do. We wouldn't try to hide from You. How absurd. We praise You, Lord, for Your continual presence with us, even today. We pray in Christ's name.